Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, top of the hour to you, 6 o'clock the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby sitting in for the vacationing Tony Gwynn today. And we're going to go back out to the SDCCU fan hotline to kick off our happy hour today. Aztec basketball season starts on Wednesday, and that's not just the guys. Obviously, they play UCLA, but the women have a good opener as well. They'll be in Las Vegas taking on the University of Washington, and joining us, freshly minted to the All-Mountain West Conference first team preseason All-Conference selection, Sophia Ramos, who has been in studio and done a very nice job on the program in the past, joins us here on 97.3 The Fan. Hi, Sophia. Nice to catch up with you. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I miss you guys, obviously. It's been a little bit of a different off season, of course. How's it been for you and the rest of the team?
You know, it started off super different, not really being able to hang out and, you know, kind of hang out in the locker room and be with each other all the time, but slowly progressing to be with each other more and more and starting to look like a real basketball practice now.
Are you guys, tell me a little bit about the actual practice. Like, are there any restrictions on what you guys can and can't do on the practice floor?
So there's like time limits now to where we have to leave a mask on. But for the most part now we're doing a lot more live play stuff. So we're able to actually take the mask off, but if you're not drinking water, if you're not on the court right away, you have to leave the mask on. So it's for sure different. You know, doing drills with the mask on as well is definitely a challenge. But
yeah,
slowly progressing to where they're coming off, which is nice.
Yeah, we were talking about earlier that a college football game in Pittsburgh is going to be, they're going to be wearing masks on the field during the game. So our question was, is this going to be a big deal for the athletes? And you're saying, yes, this would be a big deal if that indeed did happen where you had to wear a mask, say, during a game or something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That'd be one of the biggest challenges, I think.
That would be something. Sophia Ramos has been passing all of the challenges at San Diego State since she's been there. She's coming into her junior season, was an all Mountain West on the freshman team, all tournament team for the Aztecs last year. Had three games in which she had 20 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. That was tied for third most in the nation. I'm telling you, this is such a fun kid to watch play. I've had the pleasure of watching her grow up here with this Aztec program. Your partner in crime, Mallory Adams, missed a lot of last season with an injury, a couple of different injuries, I guess it was. Is Mallory back, and is she healthy and ready to go?
You know, she's progressing very well for us.
Good.
We're going to take it slow still and make sure she's 100%, but she's looking really good. I'm excited to have my partner back.
Yeah, you guys are. They both came from Texas. They both came from Texas. Sophia came from San Antonio, and Mallory came from the Dallas area. But you guys have helped transform this basketball program. Talk a little bit about a couple of the other new players that are coming in this year. I know one of them, Aza Avenger, was named the incoming freshman of the year, which is a nice preseason honor to get.
Yeah, she's a special kid.
Good.
High motor for sure. Definitely is going to be a surprise, I think, for everyone. She's going to be a tough kid. Loves the gym. Loves the gym. Loves to just work out. Has a different drive than I've seen in a long time. And I enjoy working against her and working with her.
Sophia Ramos here with us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. And when you win an award, you were named a preseason all-conference guard. What? Because I've never won an award like that before. So,
and you never will.
That's not true. I'm going to go back to college. Maybe I still have some eligibility.
All right.
But when you win something like that, what is the feeling that you get when you first find out? Is it something like, okay, I knew I was going to get that, or was it? Is it something that kind of confirms that you're a great player?
So I think it's definitely an honor to receive. You know, the Mountain West Conference has a lot of great players in it. So it's definitely an honor to be one of the five that is selected for it. But really, it's just something that I just want to continue to work hard. Truthfully, preseason stuff doesn't really mean a ton because none of us have actually played a game. So really, I just want to make sure I continue to work hard and, you know, get in the extra work so that I'm able to solidify that.
She's going to be all conference at the end of the season, too.
I was going to say.
You watch.
I was going to say, preseason award.
You just watch. And I'm going to tell you another thing that she is. She's Mountain West All-Academic Team.
Wow.
2019-20. And I think that's impressive and important as well. How is life as a college student? Take away the basketball part of it, which makes it hard enough. But with everything you guys are going through, how is life as a college student for you right now, Sophia?
Well, personally, I like the online. But it's still a challenge. I decided to try to get a minor. So now I'm, you know, taking my classes to achieve my major. And now on top of that, taking a few extra classes to, you know, get my minor. So it's a lot of work, you know, balancing it all for sure. Finding the time to, you know, figure out which class to focus on at what time and, you know, just try to stay on top of it and really put like time management skills to work.
As long as you don't want to grow up and become a broadcaster and take my job away, that I'm going to root for you in anything you do.
I'm rooting for you to become a broadcaster. So that's what I'm doing. What major are you?
So I'm a kinesiology major with an emphasis in fitness specialty, and I'm trying to get a minor in psychology.
Okay.
And figure everybody out.
Yeah, what are the plans for post San Diego State?
Definitely to go to grad school and get a master's. And right now I'm looking at either a child psychologist or sports psychologist.
Well, there's a need for sports psychologists.
there's a need for anybody out there helping people. I'm going to tell you one thing. This is a great kid. From the minute I met her to now, she's been spectacular. And really looking forward to this upcoming season. You guys play, was it Washington on Wednesday night? The trip to Vegas. I don't get to go to Las Vegas because of the pandemic, but I will see you at some of the home games. So I'm definitely excited about this season and looking forward to it. How's Coach Terry doing? I haven't talked to her in a while.
She's great. You know, super excited that we're getting our season. You know, she loves the gym, loves coaching us, and she brings a high energy that, you know, is contagious. She's excited, which is great. She's doing great. She's being really flexible with us, helping us with whatever it is we need help with, whether it be academics or athletics, and, you know, checking in to make sure everyone's doing what they need to do to stay on top of everything.
What are this team's goals this season? I know you guys were picked fourth in the conference, but how about starting off with like a win over Washington? That would be cool, right? Beat a Pac-12 school right off the bat, and then never mind this fourth stuff, right, Sophia?
Right.
Well, we wish you the best. Have a great season. Thanks for spending some time with us. It's always good catching up to you, and I look forward to seeing you soon and seeing the rest of the team. Say hi to everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again for joining us.
Perfect. Thank you all again for having me.
Of course. Our pleasure. There she is, Sophia Ramos, the preseason all-conference guard for the San Diego State women's basketball team. You're not going to find a nicer kid out there anywhere, Scraby. And she's on her way to great things, but first on the basketball court. The thing I always liked about her game, she's one of those players that you don't sometimes notice the first 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 minutes of the game. But by about the third or fourth quarter, she just starts getting it up into another level. And she just keeps on coming. She just never stops attacking. Everything's downhill with her. And she's got her mental game is really, really good, which is not surprising that she's getting into psychology.
Like I was going to say.
her mental game is what really impresses me. She can miss four or five shots and then just come right back and make six in a row. You know, so
that is
she
impressive.
Just sticks with it. Anyway, I really like this kid, and I like, you know, I like being around that team. So looking forward to that coming up. They open with Washington on Wednesday night. And then I think their home opener is December the 2nd, which is normally something that I would be getting the word out to people so they could come to the game. But
no fans.
Not going to be able to come to the game. So I'll be at the game.
You'll be at the game.
Yes, we'll be broadcasting the game to the people who can't go to the game.
Yes, of course. But and you're going to be tested twice a week so that I know that I'm in check if you're in check. So that's always
part
good.
Of what I've been told. I don't have all of the details on that, but I did get word from Ben Pearson at the media relations office that as the broadcaster of the team, testing will be part of my duty. So
okay.
I will get more information on that. And as I said, since Tony got tested when he was part of the Padres stuff, it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I can't say I'm excited about it.
I think it's going to be easier than you think.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because okay. Think about all these pro athletes who do this every single day.
All the time.
Every day.
Like endlessly. That's all these guys do is test.
Yeah. We were talking to Scott Miller earlier this week, and they were saying he was saying that it's just been so rough on everyone in baseball because of the testing. The testing is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
That they have to worry about all the time.
Yeah. By the way, the other news at San Diego State today, and I don't want to go on a downer here, but just to kind of piggyback on our interview with Sophia Ramos, because of the COVID situation, they had to eliminate the women's rowing program today at San Diego State University. John David Wicker actually wrote an open letter to the Aztec community today. It's on their website, but that's too bad. Because San Diego State, you know, but I mean, this is what's happening in the world right now. So it's just it's a shame. So we wish all those kids all the best of luck in the rowing program to be able to land on their oars. And
wait a second, where's my notebook?
No. That's not that funny. That's not
land
even.
On
that's
their
not
oars. Even,
the elephant joke was way better than that one.
Oh,
I still don't understand why you don't get the elephant joke.
Tell me again.
Okay, here's the joke. What do you do with an elephant who has three balls?
Again, that
you walk him and pitch to the kangaroo.
I thought it was the giraffe.
Or the janger, or the jury. You can pitch to anybody who's ever on deck. You don't even understand the point
now.
Of it.
I do now.
Like Fernando Tatis had
three
a 3-0
balls
count,
yeah,
and
yeah.
They pitched to him.
Yeah, exactly.
They shouldn't
okay,
have.
Okay, all right, I get it now.
They should have walked him and pitched to the giraffe or the kangaroo.
That was as good as my Johnny Cage joke yesterday.
What was that one?
About Mortal Kombat and Michael
No, because
Cage.
That one wasn't good at all because I didn't even understand it.
I got a DM yesterday saying that was a great joke.
Really?
I did.
From who?
From actually the guy who picked me in fantasy football, Ryan.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Ryan's going – he's going to bat with you, man. He's really risking
Do you think
it.
He's just trying to get me buttered up so that I pick him for free prizes and stuff?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think he's just – he might – I got to believe out there, look, I know that most of you listening don't believe this.
I don't know where you're
But there's
going with
a couple
this.
Of people out there that are probably Chris Ello fans. They're
oh,
just, you know
oh.
what I mean? Just by happenstance.
I know for a fact there are because when we were in Cooperstown, we were just walking around the Hall of Fame and two random people just go, are you Chris Ello? And I'm like, wait, people in Cooperstown know who Chris Ello is?
I don't remember that at all.
Yes, you do.
That happened?
Yes. It was very. It wasn't surprising that they knew you, but it was surprising at where we were. When
but here's they my. Here's the reason. Here's the reason I said that, though. The fact is, there's so many number. There's so many people who listen to us. There's so many people who check in with the Gwen and Chris show. I'm saying that there's probably a couple of big time Scraby fans out there too, just By accident.
By accident. I get a lot of messages saying if I need any help defending myself from you guys,
yes,
to give them a call. And I'm
believe me, folks, he doesn't need any help. He gets his back in spades. Okay, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, Aztec football will be the focus. Nationally televised game tomorrow. What? Oh, I don't understand that signal at all.
Okay, I'll tell you in the break.
Tell me in the break. We'll come back after we check traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks again to Sofia Ramos. So the San Diego State women's basketball team spending a little time with us. Talk about their season, which starts on Wednesday. Aztec men's season also starts Wednesday. 7:30 tip-off against UCLA. That game will be broadcast on the CBS Sports Network. Aztec's second game, men's game, will be against UC Irvine, 4 o'clock next Friday. And broadcast details are still being worked out for that second game for you Aztec men's basketball fans. A couple of NBA notes to give you before we get to Aztec football. Dwight Howard is gone.
Did you see this? This all brewed it during our show. He tweeted out that he was a member. He was re-signing with the Lakers.
Nah, I didn't even see that part.
Oh, yeah, I know. And then you. I was going to say you could.
Oh, he just signed with Philadelphia.
Exactly. He deleted his tweet.
Oh, he had to delete his tweet and change his mind.
I guess
something changed.
How does that change? How do you tweet something out and then be like, you know what? Actually, I'm going to go here.
Maybe he made a mistake.
I don't know.
I just signed a 1-year deal with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oops. Delete.
I meant the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, wouldn't that be hilarious if he did that? He tagged the wrong team because he's just used to tagging the Lakers?
Could have. I don't know. 1 year, $2.6 million veterans minimum exemption. So Dwight Howard will not be with the Lakers again next year. He'll go to the Philadelphia 76ers. A couple of other things. The Atlanta Hawks are close to signing. Boy, this will get Adam Klug fired up. The Atlanta Hawks are close to finalizing a 3-year, $61 million deal with Danilo Gallinari.
What?
32 years old.
I'm stunned.
18 points, 5 rebounds a game with the Thunder last year. $61 million.
He's making $20 million a year.
$20 million a year for 3 years, and the third year will be 35. Gallinari has played for the Knicks, who stunk when he was there. Mm-hmm. The Nuggets, mm-hmm. who stunk when he was there. The Clippers, who stunk when he was there. In fact, the Clippers got rid of him in order to get Paul George. Anyway, and Gallinari, again, he's at least a pretty good player. That's at least better to me than wasting $25 million on Mason Plumlee like the Detroit Pistons did. At least Gallinari's a, you know, semi-decent player. But he's not going to change anything for you. He's not going to turn the Atlanta Hawks into contenders.
That is a lot of money.
$61 million for a guy that's not going to really... I don't think the Atlanta Hawks go with Dallinor Gallinari on their team. They go from what? 16 wins to 21?
Yeah, he probably adds less than 8 wins.
I mean, come on. It's not my 61
million.
Not worth
$20 million a year.
All right, I'm going to give you one more contract. Sacramento Kings.
Oh, I saw this.
Another great franchise. Guard De'Aaron Fox, 5-year max extension. My goodness. Max extension. $163 million.
At least he's good. At least he's good.
21 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds from Kentucky. Yeah, he's good. But now that they've given him all that money, do they have enough money to get any other play? I mean, the Kings,
Kings have a lot of money.
He's good, but what has De'Aaron Fox done? done for the Sacramento Kings. They were 31-41 last year. That's a typical record for them.
My Kings friends are just lighting me up, telling me how great the Kings are going to be. In the next few years.
With who?
De'Aaron Fox and whoever they drafted.
Marvin Bagley. Bogdan Bogdanovic.
There's an investigation.
Yogi Ferrell.
Yogi?
Yeah, they got Yogi Ferrell. They got Buddy Hield.
Oh, he's championship.
Championship.
He's the championship.
Say. Yeah, Sacramento Kings. Well, $163 million. There you go. Harrison Barnes makes $24 million a year. Kent Bazemore makes $19 million a year. Who is Kent Bazemore?
Sounds like a guy who...
And what is he doing making $19 million a year?
That is crazy.
That's what bad franchises do. They wind up with bad contracts. Aztec football tomorrow, 12:30 kickoff at Reno against Nevada. And get this, Aztec fans. The game will be televised on CBS, period. That's
right. I'm going to actually get to see it.
CBS,
this week?
Not CBS the Ocho, not CBS Sports.com//
watch
/
TV.
You know, wherever you got to go. CBS, real CBS television tomorrow at 12:30. First time the Aztecs have been on national TV in the Brady Hoke / Rocky Long era.
Really?
Yeah. The last time they'd been on a national televised game was when Chuck Long was the coach, and they played at Notre Dame.
Wow.
In 2000, whatever year that was. I remember that game. Ted and I did the game back there. That was fun to go back to
Yeah,
that game was on, I think, NBC just because of all Notre Dame's games are on NBC. So they're going to be on CBS, period. Gary Danielson, who calls all the big SEC games, is actually going to be the color guy for this game. Is that right?
He's the SEC on CBS.
Yeah, well, he's going to be the color guy for this game. So it's a nice assignment for a big name. He was on with the coach, John Cantara, today, asking whether or not the Aztecs should consider changing their starting quarterback.
Even if you win a game, when you throw for 30 yards, you know, and you're going to have question marks about your position. So, I mean, we could see Lucas Johnson. That's, you know, the position was thrown open. That's the way it goes sometimes. And looking at this game, I don't have any inside information right now that I could tell you, but looking at it just logically, you wonder, you know, if the Aztecs think, how do they slow down this, you know, Nevada offense? And one way is to play their normal good defense. And the other way is to play the way they've been playing in years past, controlling the clock and keep the ball away. And the way the defense have been crowding the ball against the San Diego State offense when they haven't done well, I think it makes sense that they would say, all right, if we're not a great throwing team, we need to be a better running team. And to be a better running team, maybe we need one more runner in the backfield. And that would be my logic. Maybe we see them both. Maybe we see just, you know, Carson Baker, and he has a really good game and it changes. But I would not be shocked to see a little different attack with one more rushing attack to try to keep that ball away from Nevada.
All right, that's Gary Danielson, who will be the color analyst on tomorrow's game between the Aztecs and Nevada, talking about whether the Aztecs – we don't know. I got a couple of texts earlier today.
Oh, you got sources?
No, I got texts from people asking me who's the quarterback.
Oh, I thought you were getting sources.
I was like, I don't know. Do you?
Yeah.
So, Brady Hoke's taking that to sleep with him tonight in Reno. Lucas Johnson or Carson Baker, we'll see. I would imagine it's got to be a little bit of both guys, the way they're setting this up. Unless one guy just starts the game and just
takes over.
You know, yeah, house of fire. So, we'll see. Aztec football tomorrow. You can make a big deal out of the quarterback situation. Look, the offensive line's going to have to block. They're going to have to run for 300 yards. I mean, that's what they got to do to win. I don't think it matters who the quarterback is. They got to get 300 yards rushing. That's an ask. That's a big ask. Mm-hmm. But when you're San Diego State, they're capable of doing it. And I think that they're going to need to do it because Nevada is going to put some points on the board. That'll be a good game tomorrow, 12:30 on CBS. Period.
Like,
that seems so weird
watch a
to
game.
Not say sports.line.com/graph, period, paragraph.
I can't even tell you how angry it makes me that they've cut CBS Sports Network from Spectrum without paying more for it. It's really annoying.
I wasn't too pleased last week with Spectrum.
Because they didn't have it on Channel 4.
No. I taped Channel 4.
Oh, what did you watch?
Oh, my God. No, I didn't even get Sam the Cooking Guy.
I was
going to
say, I wasn't sure if he was still there.
I got Joe the Screwdriver Guy. I don't know what I got.
Oh, This Old House or something?
It was terrible. It was just embarrassing. I didn't watch any of it. I just was
so
livid.
Oh, I thought you were
going to
sit there and watch until you saw the game come on or something.
I fast-forwarded for a little while, saw no sign of the game, and then went and checked the
score.
How
angry does that make you?
Pretty angry.
I was going to say.
But, you know, in this day and age, not as angry as it might have in the
back in the day.
But, yeah, I wasn't pleased. Wasn't pleased. All right. Interview of the week is next. Gwen and Chris. Gwen and Chris will be back together on Monday, this coming Monday. Tony Gwynn Jr. will return from vacay. Gravy will be here, so the whole gang will be here, 3 o'clock Monday. Get you caught up on all the things that happened this weekend. Should be a good sports weekend coming up. This hour brought to you by San Diego County BMW Centers. Join BMW's Drive to End Hunger Test Drive event. It ends tomorrow, so if you go this evening or tomorrow, your test drive will generate 200 meals for Feeding America. Also receive a $1,000 BMW credit, plus an additional credit of up to $3,500 on select models. Visit sdcountybmw.com. It's that time in the show when we put together our interview of the week. Scraby, had a lot to choose from this week. But
we do.
I mean, as much as I enjoyed our interviews today,
yeah.
Most people already heard those.
Mm-hmm,
so, Scott Miller. Did a nice job the other day, the day in which Ron Fowler stepped down as the chairman of the Padres. So we're going to hear from Scotty on pretty much everything Padres. So you Padre fans will certainly get caught up here heading into the weekend. Before we get to that Scott Miller interview, we'll check traffic with Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by Safety America. Still plenty of activity on our roads this afternoon. Got a vehicle fire blocking lane south and side of the 15 just before the 805. Also on the eastbound 8, south 5. May still find a little traffic control from a rollover crash. Further east on the 8, they clear this accident before Hotel Circle. Another crash cleared near Mission Center Road. If you're traveling on the northbound 163, Balboa off-ramp, an accident involving several vehicles. That is mostly over to the right shoulder. Accident South 5 Coastline. This is right around Santa Fe Drive. Looks like that is over to the right shoulder. Looking for true safety during the pandemic? Safety America face shields combined with a mask is the best protection possible. Safety America is right here in PB, made locally. Fits over your glasses, protects your eyes, and is a clear shield. Visit safetyamerica.com or their PB location at 747 Turquoise Street today. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
SDCCU Fan Hotline, that's where we head now to visit with our baseball writer extraordinaire, Mr. Scott Miller on 97.3 The Fan. Scott, what's up today, man? Anything?
Hey, Chris, how are you? Yeah, just another quiet off-season day, right?
Yeah, I figured that everyone's wondering about the timing of this. I thought that the timing's really good because now everybody will stop complaining, at least for a day, about the two-year contract given to Mike Clevinger, who won't be able to pitch next year. See, nobody's talking about that today. You got everybody's mind off of that. It was a nice move by the Padres. Solid idea.
It sure did. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, that's how it goes. All right, so what do you make of the timing of this, Scott? Were you surprised? Should we be stunned? Should we be mildly concerned? Should we be happy? Where should we land on this?
You know, I think a couple of things, Chris. One, you know, I think mildly surprising, no doubt. I don't know about stunned because, you know, I mean, you know, Ron Fowler, people forget that he's up into his 70s because it's easy to forget because of how active he is, and it, both in his role as a Padres owner, in his role on the labor committee, and a couple different committees he's on for Major League Baseball. You know, not to mention his local businesses. I mean, this guy's a guy that typically, does more in a day than, your average 25-year-old does, mm-hmm. I think. And I think from that perspective, it's easy to take for granted a workhorse like that, kind of a force of nature. And, I think at the end of the day, you stop and you look and, he's had a, he's put his heart and soul into this Padre team for, what's it been, 8 years, I guess.
Yeah.
He and Peter Seidler, that group bought him in 2012. And as you know, it's been a ton of heavy lifting over those 8 years because there was a broken franchise when Ron Fowler and Peter Seidler acquired the Padres. I thought Peter Seidler's comment in the Zoom press conference today was pertinent. He was dead on honest when he said, when we took over, it was not a well-run organization. And, it's been a lot of heavy lifting. And, from that perspective, I don't think it's, again, for a man of Ron Fowler's age and how much work this involves, I don't think it's stunning. Mildly surprising because, it's a passion of his, and he's given a ton to the community in various ways. I mean, all you have to do is look at the University of San Diego, and, the Ron Fowler field, the baseball field, but beyond that, a ton of other stuff he's done there and at San Diego State. Money donated. Yep. He's been a top shelf grade A citizen of San Diego for many, many years. From that perspective, I think it's a mildly sad day that, he's going to step back a little bit from that because somebody that's been as good for the community as him, I think you always want them to be more involved, not less involved. But that said, he and Peter Seidler, I think, they've been a tag team from day one. And I think the continuity here, by all rights, things should continue to flow, as Ron hands off the baton to Peter in a similar way to the way it's gone recently.
Scott, I guess we'll all find this out as time goes on. But what's your first hint at your first thoughts? If I asked you, how we may see a difference in the running of the ball club under Ron Fowler as opposed to running of the ball club under Peter Seidler? Is there any way to guess any differences that we might notice?
Yeah, it's hard to guess. My first reaction is I don't know that there'll be any obvious differences from the standpoint of going back to the continuity that I just talked about. Mm-hmm. You've got Eric Grubner that's president of the club, runs the business side, and he's been there for the past several years. You've got AJ Preller, of course, on the baseball side. He's been there. So some of the leaders of the organization, from the owner to the business side to the baseball side, there's no change. So I would expect, things to run pretty smoothly, pretty similarly to the way they've run the last few years. We'll have to see. Ron will continue to be involved and. So from that perspective, as Peter said on the call today, Seidler said, I'm going to be talking around on the phone all the time. He said he thinks he's going to get away, but I'm going to keep him busy. And I would say for the foreseeable future, that'll probably be the case that, maybe there'll be some mild differences in the way things have been running, but I really don't see that much, at least not initially. Now, the big thing, of course, is obviously, COVID-19, that's kind of, made everything that's obviously sadly and tragically for the country. It's taken, the COVID has dominated everything. So, the first thing for the Padres, like other baseball teams, like everybody else in the world, it's going to be a little while anyway until life gets back to normal. And, you know, we saw that last year with a 60-game season with no fans in the stands. And, you know, we can only hope they're even at a limited capacity. There'll be some fans from opening day this year. I don't know if there will be. And I don't think anybody does. So, you know, that's the other, you know, I don't even want to say wild card because it's way more than a wild card in this scenario is how the Padres will continue to operate. Well, I think even beyond the ownership swap here, is Seidler the top man instead of Ron Fowler? I think it's how will COVID allow the Padres and the rest of baseball to operate?
Yeah. If they allow any fans into the stands, I bet you one guy who will be in the stands is Ron Fowler. He'll be sitting right there next to the dugout in his customary spot. Scott Miller is with us on the SDCCU fan hotline. All right, Scott, if you were Theo Epstein, would you have called the Padres by now?
Definitely a legitimate question and definitely a question that's going to be on everybody's mind. I would say this, since you asked it that way, if I was Theo Epstein right now, I probably wouldn't have made that call yet for a couple of reasons. One, I do take Theo at his word. I don't anticipate him to turn right around and jump into anything anytime soon. I do think he needs a break. You know, you talk about, you know, an all-consuming type of job. I mean, you know, anybody in any leadership position of a baseball team, you know, those people get ground to a pulp because it's a 24/7 operation, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And this has been a particularly hard year. So, you know, Theo's, you know, had a nice long tenure running the Cubs. So I don't think I'd make that call to the Padres yet for two reasons. One, if I'm Theo, as you asked, I think I need to take a few deep breaths. I want to spend some time with my wife and kids where I can wake up in the morning and I don't have a schedule. I wake up and look at my wife and kids and say, I got all week for you. What do you want to do today? I think there's that. I think the second reason I don't call the Padres yet if I'm Theo is because if I'm Theo, and I've been the point man in breaking the two most significant curses in baseball, the Red Sox and the Cubs winning World Series. I think I'm comfortable in my own shoes, or if I'm Theo, even in Chicago, given the temperature right now, in my own flip-flops, because I'm casual now, man, now that I'm not an executive. I've retired or resigned. I think if I'm Theo, I'm secure enough to know that I am going to get calls, and whether it's the Padres or other teams, you know, I'm going to be getting all kinds of offers, and I'll be able to pick my spot.
Scott Miller is with us talking some baseball on this day when Ron Fowler has stepped down as chairman of the board of the Padres, and Peter Seidler now is going to step into that role. As mentioned, this is the first Gwynn and Chris program under the Peter Seidler leadership and stewardship. So we're trying to mind our...
You don't notice any changes.
Not yet. Not yet. We're trying to mind our P's and Q's, though, today. We want to put our best foot forward for Mr. Seidler today.
Yeah.
Real quick, Scott, while I have you, the Clevenger deal, it's only a couple of days old, so I haven't totally forgotten about it. Do you like it? And in terms of, you know, the Padres getting the best out of a bad situation?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the way you have to look at it, right? I mean, if you're the Padres or a Padres fan, I mean, you know, I mean, I guess – you know, they could have just cut him loose and not signed him to a 2-year deal, but either way, they're going to be on the hook to rehab him after Tommy John surgery. And you know, so at this point you might as well, you know, roll the dice. You know, the only thing that makes me, cringe some is, I mean, doggone, this has been the franchise that's kind of been the home for rehabbing Tommy John surgery guys from, you know, Clevenger now. I mean, before him, you know, they signed Garrett Richards, who was rehabbing from Tommy John, and, you know, they didn't really get much out of Richards yet. Before that, remember when Josh Johnson, the former Miami Marlin, was hanging around?
I remember that.
A couple of years, you remember? And that goes back to the old ownership, and that goes back to, you know, that guy never pitched for the Padres, as I recall. If he did, it was an inning or so, but it was like 2 years worth of rehabbing, and he had his kids running in the clubhouse, and, you know, it seems like that's become one of the Padre traditions is there's always some veteran pitcher hanging around rehabbing from Tommy John. So, I, you know, hopefully Clevenger was so fun to watch when he was on, and you know, you can just hope that he rehabs and comes back and is able to contribute something for the Padres and to give fans in San Diego, you know, something more that's joyful to watch.
Yeah. And last thing, Scott, what are you hearing? What do we know at this point about the upcoming baseball season, if anything yet?
Just that people are waiting to see what's going to happen. I mean, you know, the winter meetings have been canceled. I'm assuming there's going to be some kind of, you know, general managers will be talking to each other via Zoom. But, you know, the hope is to get the full season in and you know, do what they can. But I do know from talking to some different executives, you know, they're just wait and see mode, right? Like the rest of us. I mean,
yeah.
I know I talked to one general manager in particular the other day, the day the Pfizer news came out about that their vaccine was 90% good. And he was really heartened by that because, you know, he said, look, you know, it was really, really, really hard to do what we had to do to get through 60 games last year, talking about the constant testing.
It had to be.
Guys, moving in and out and then on the road, you know, you gotta stay in the hotel. And he told me honestly, he said, I don't know if we can do that over 162. Now, obviously, he's a general manager. It's his job. He's a baseball rat, you know. But, and I guarantee you, he'll be gung-ho to do it if they say, let's play 162. But we've got to do it under these COVID rules. Like last year, you know, I mean, everybody will snap too, and they'll do the best they can. I thought baseball did a really good job last year with everything for the most part.
Yeah, they did.
But, you know, they're just praying that for good news on the vaccines, like the rest of us, because of what I said, that he talked about how doggone difficult it was to get through just 60 games. And just, I don't think many in baseball are looking forward at all to trying to replicate last year over 162.
No, that would be one of these days, Scott, you're going to do an in-depth piece, you or somebody else, but probably yeah. It'd be good if it's you because you're so good. But an in-depth piece on really what it was like to live in baseball during last season. Scott Miller will do that, and he will do a great job at it. I saw this headline as we go out, Scraby, to end the week.
Okay.
Bengals to be without three position coaches versus WFT. And I thought to myself,
what's WFT?
Who are they playing? What is WFT? The Washington football team.
And I hear that they're going to be keeping that name for a couple more years.
Lazy. Lazy, lazy, lazy. Get a nickname and get with it. All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy Aztec football tomorrow. Enjoy Dolphin football on Sunday. No 49ers this week, Scraby. Sorry, buddy.
No, it's okay. They need the week off.
Tony will be back with me on Monday to recap it all on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Adios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.